Hello, beloved. It's good to be with you. And as we do Bible study, I call this Bible study, study one, on the subject of deception. Now, before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer and then we can continue. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name, especially in the time that we are living in, where we can see deception all around us, where we experience it on a daily basis. Father, I pray that you will please open up your word to us so we can understand where it comes from, how it works, so at the end of the day we can be armed and ready whenever we face deception to be able to take it on, so that your name may be glorified in and through our lives and works done in the dark can be exposed. So I pray, Father, please enable us to receive your word, to understand your word, and enable me as your servant to teach your word, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right. Let me just go back to that slide. I just wanted to say to you quickly, when it comes to deception, in the prayer I said that deception is all around us. And the heartbreaking thing is that deception is not only found in the world among unbelievers. Unfortunately, deception is also found in the church, among people that are supposed to be professing believers, people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. And it's unfortunate that even in the church at times we find people going around with deceit. And deception is found when people actually hide things or come out with half-truths, or when people basically, when they do things in such a way that it actually deceives the listener. So the truth is not in the open. The truth is being hidden by sinister means, and this can take on any kind of form. Now, when it comes to deception, I mean, it's something that we can clearly see. And by the way, when we talk about deception, basically, we are saying to one another, when somebody deceives you, that means that person has lied to you. When politicians say one thing to you, but they do something different, it means that they've deceived you. They are busy deceiving people, and the means through which they deceive people is through lying to people. And that's the unfortunate thing about the world that we live in, is it is the world is just filled with deception. Now, this should not surprise us because we have been warned. Jesus warned us that before his return, the first warning he gives actually is the warning of deception. Do not be deceived, beloved. So deception is just one of those things that we're going to find and we're going to see around us. So we're going to see it from the unsaved. We're going to focus in on that during this short study on deception. But we also, as I said, see it in the church. We see it among teachers. And when we go back to the study of Jude, where Jude is speaking about false teachers love to deceive. That's the means through which they get entrance into the church, where they get entrance into a place of authority, where they get entrance into leadership positions, where they get entrance into positions where they can actually teach, because that's where they want to be. They want to be in positions of authority because that's where they have the most power to deceive. When it comes to politicians, when it comes to people in places of authority, doesn't matter whether it's in the private sector or whether it's in government, that's got nothing to do with it. People get into positions of power so that they can, how can I say, hide their deception, because they've got a lot more means to be able to cover up their deception. And the more authority or the more power you have, the more you can deceive people. I mean, the greatest deceiver, I think, in modern history could be Hitler. I think he was one of the greatest deceivers that ever lived, ever walked this planet in the modern era, because he deceived the whole nation to believe the deception that he was sharing with them. And he was a compulsive liar. We find many dictators in the world being followed by the people because they are busy with large-scale deception. So deception is not something that is new. It's been around for many, many, many years. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years warned years ago, warned about deception. But the thing is, what I believe that we need to understand when it comes to deception is, where does it come from? And I think you remember when we did the study on the book of the letter of James, we kind of looked at it in James chapter 3. I want us to quickly read it again because I think it just helps us to understand something about deception, because the tongue is the instrument of deception. And now we need to be sure of it. It doesn't mean the tongue just of unbelievers. It is the tongue of anyone. And this is how James describes it. And I think it's such a interesting description of it. When James speaks, he says in James chapter 3, verse 1, he says, we're going to read that whole part about the tongue. He says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And what he's speaking about is, he says, don't become a teacher, because we will receive stricter judgment. There is a judgment upon those who teach, because they are supposed to teach the truth, and if they do not teach the truth, God will judge them. There's going to be a coming judgment when God is going to judge every single person who taught whatever. So it is not a thing that you need to should take lightly. When you become a teacher, it says, let not many of you become teachers, because we're going to receive a stricter judgment. We looked at that when we studied the book of James. But then verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, what he's saying is, the reason why teachers need to be very, very careful is because they are going to use their tongues, they're going to use their mouths, and we stumble with our words, nah? It's with our words that we can say things that are completely false. It's with our words that we can say things that are uplifting and edifying, but we can destroy with our words. Therefore, when it comes to teaching and people who are open to hear the teaching, those who are teaching should be very, very careful, because we can easily stumble in our words. All right, verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses, says mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn the whole or their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now, here James describes the tongue as something personal. He personifies the tongue, basically. Because the tongue here represents the depravity of human beings, the wretchedness of human beings. The tongue is representative of fallen human nature. That's the kind of way that he explains it here. Okay, he says a small little fire kindles a little fire can light up a great forest. And then he says in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body. So the tongue has a position in the body that it can defile the whole body, because what comes out of your mouth is normally what is inside. I was speaking to a young man this past week, and it was amazing how he tried to defend himself, but his tongue, his mouth, he had a dirty mouth. But he still wants to tell me that he's a good person, even though he has a dirty mouth and he's been doing such a lot of things that are contrary to the law of God. But he believed that he was a good man. But what struck me is the fact that those dirty words could come out of his mouth. And you know what? What came out of his mouth immediately told me what kind of person he is. Because the tongue is set among our members in such a way that it actually defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, James says, and it is set on fire by hell itself. An untamed tongue is a very, very dangerous thing. And beloved, the tongue is the instrument of deception. That's where deception comes out. It flows out of the mouth of a person. Now James says in chapter 3, verse 7, he says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and a creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Because with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God," which means in the image of God. Verse 10, "Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water." One of the distinguishing factors between a believer and a non-believer is the fact that believers' tongues are tamed by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that is, let's say, continuously taming our tongues. Because at the end of the day, it is only the Holy Spirit that can tame our tongue. Because our tongue is the instrument that is used in deception. Our tongue is the instrument that is used when we bless God or we worship God, we serve God, we sing praises to God. Our tongue is used. But it's sometimes that same tongue that we use to deceive people, to tell lies, to blaspheme the name of the Lord. It's the same tongue that we use to speak curse words. It's the same tongue that we use to say things about our fellow brothers and sisters that are hurting. It's the same tongue that we use to gossip with and to slander with. It's the same tongue that we use to swear with. And the only way that our tongue can basically be in check is when the Holy Spirit actually takes control of our tongue and control our tongue, you know, in the way that it's supposed to be controlled. Because when it comes to deception, there's no other means through which deception can get to people. It is with the kind of words that we use. It's what we say. It is the deceiving words that is used. And as I said, it's so unfortunate that we find deception within the church, especially among false teachers. Deception is rampant because that's their means of getting into the church. That's their means of spreading their false doctrines and their false ideas and their false things. Right? In the world that we are living in, I think one of the greatest instruments, it's obviously the tongue, but it's the tongues that is being used by the mainstream media. I think they are the greatest deceivers that are alive in the day and age that we're living in, because the mainstream media has become the mouthpiece of the politicians, of the leaders. And it, obviously, if we go to the Middle East, for example, where we have religious leaders, the mainstream media in those countries have become the mouthpiece of the religious leaders. So whoever wants to deceive, deceives through the mouths of others. But it starts with their own deception. They deceive themselves. They themselves deceive first, and they use their tongues for it. In Romans chapter 3, let me just go to Romans quickly, because at the end of the day, it is such a beautiful passage. Romans chapter 3, we're going to read verse 13. Listen to this. Here we go, verse 13. "Their throats is an open tomb. With their tongue, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." Yo, those are serious words. These are extremely serious words. You see, beloved, words have meaning. When Paul says on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and speaks to the Roman believers, he says to them, their throats, and he's speaking about the unbelievers, obviously. In fact, he is speaking about those who are unregenerate, right? Because No one understands. No one seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable, verse 12 tells us. There is none who does good. No, not even one. Right? And it speaks about these people who do not do good. No one that does good, because we're all born in sin. He says their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue, they practice deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. These are so serious words. Very, very serious words that we're looking at here. What does it mean that their throats are an empty tomb or an open tomb? Now, John MacArthur writes in his commentary, he says that tombs were sealed not only to show respect for the deceased, but to hide the sight and the stench of the body's decay. As an unsealed tomb allows those who pass to see and smell what is inside, the unregenerate person's opened throat, that is, the foul words that come out from it, reveal the decay of his heart. Yo, serious words. Serious, serious, serious words. Okay. Now, what comes from the tongue is like poison. When people use their tongues to practice deceit, it means that they deceive others through what they are saying. Yeah? I just quickly want to go to I want to give you the meaning. The tongues, they use deceit. And at the end of the day, it's so important for us to understand what it is. Now, according to the Word Study Dictionary, deceit is to basically lure as by bait. That's what deceit is. It's like throwing out bait to someone so that at the end of the day, that person can be lured in. It's like catching a fish, ne? All right? People use deceit to basically deceive, to lure people in so that at the end of the day, they can basically abuse those people. Okay? That's just the basic meaning of it. And it's so heartbreaking to think about it that that people who are supposed to use their tongues to glorify God because they're created in the image of God, they don't use their tongues to glorify God. What they do is they use their tongues to as a bait, the words as a bait to catch somebody and to bring them in so that they can abuse them, misuse them. And that's the warning of the Apostle Paul to the Romans. Now, in chapter 3, he says, what then, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. All right? Are we better than the Greeks and the Jews? No, we're not. Because that's who Paul is speaking about. And then he says to us in verse 10, for it is written, now, that's the basic a common introduction to an Old Testament quotation that is going to be made. He says, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, and they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not even one. Their throat is an empty tomb, or an open tomb, sorry. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps are under their lips, whose mouths is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is a description of these people that think that they are righteous. Because that's the problem with deception, is people who deceive think they are righteous, and they come forth as if they are righteous people, but in fact they are not. So Paul comes and says, no, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one that understands. There is no one who seeks after God by themselves. Because everybody has turned aside. Everybody together has become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not even one, because our best works are like filthy rags in the sight of God. But besides that, I mean, their throats are open tombs. They smell of all the garbage that comes out of them. Their tongues practice deceit. So when they open up their mouths, they are deceiving people to lure them in like a fish is being caught by bait that is on the end of a hook. The poison of asps are under their lips, which means when whatever comes out of their mouth is like poison to those who listen to them. Right? And how do we know these people are not good? Well, nobody is good because their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. You see, you hear it. It comes from their mouths. They are easy and quick to shed blood. All right. Whenever you look at the ways of normal people, there are destruction and misery. They don't know the way of peace. They have no fear of God before their eyes. A beautiful description of the unsaved. And that kind of lays the foundation when it comes to the deception. Is that when we work or when we talk about deception, deception is always brought forth through the instrument of the tongue. That's why Paul said it so beautifully. With their tongue they have practiced deceit. That's what the unsaved do. And we should not be guilty of that. All right, so the tongue is an instrument of deception. And the second thing that we see about deception is that God appears deception. God hates deception. If there's one thing that God doesn't allow and really stands against, it is deception. Okay? Let's go to, pardon me, Psalm 5 verse 6. Let's start with verse 5. There we go. It says, the boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. Any person that works unrighteousness, any person who does what is wrong. So people who deceive, it says God hates them. Because God hates sin. Eh? God will destroy sin when he sees it. Verse 6 says, you shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Yo, those are big words. Big, big words. John MacArthur says in his commentary on this verse, he says, when it speaks about, the negative phrase, the way that it's said, he says that this reveals God's perfect standard of justice, both in principle and in practice. You see, God is holy. God is perfectly holy. God is perfectly just. He is always just. He's always perfect. He doesn't change. So in principle and practice, God is always the same. So God cannot accept a deceitful man. God cannot accept those who are bloodthirsty. God cannot accept those who speak falsehood. And by the way, that's why Christ Jesus had to come. So that you and I do not have to be punished. Because God has to punish sin. This is like an introduction just to deception. Because what we need to understand is deception comes from the tongue. It comes from a person's lips. That's where deceit comes from. But we need to also understand that God abhors it. He hates it. All right? God doesn't accept it. God's standard is too high. God's justice is too perfect. All right? In principle and practice, God is 100% just. God is 100% pure. God is completely holy. So God cannot have two standards that he lives by. And that he functions by or works by. His function is always perfect holiness. And we cannot achieve that. except through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on our behalf so that at the end of the day, we can be set free from our sin and even the deceit that we've practiced in the past and the deceitful words that came out of our mouths. It has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. All right, let's end there for today. It's God willing, next week we will continue with the study on deceit. We're still going to get back to Jude. Don't worry about it. We're going to get back to Jude. I just want to actually just touch on this because I think we are living in a world where deceit is so rampant that I think we need to talk about it. And obviously, false teachers are also in there. And in the church, we find a lot of false teachers. So these two things kind of complement one another. False teachers and the fact that we have deception. Right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. And thank you, Father, that we can get to know how deceit is brought into this world. How you feel about it. Father, please enable us to understand it, especially when we get to the practical side of deception. When we look at things that touches us on a daily basis, in the future, if it be your will. Father, please enable us to understand. Enable the Holy Spirit, I pray, that will enable us, our tongues, to be in check so that deceit will not flow from our lips. This I pray, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. And may He give you His peace. And remember, when I pray for God to bless you, I'm praying that you will be obedient to Him in all things. So God willing, until next time, bye-bye.